I'm going to start with this is just a little short, funny video. I'll narrate it in the video, but just this little bird pops up every time he hears the door.
Baby robins. And when we open the front door, one of them thinks it's time to eat and pokes his head up like this.
We'll stop there. We could keep opening the door all day and he would just keep popping up on me. And why would I show you that? Intentionality. It's funny, it's simple, it's quick. But that's not accidental. You know, we staged the whole thing. I stand there in front of the nest. Denise is over at the door. Okay, get the shot here. Okay, ready? Open the door. Okay, don't say anything in between. I'll open the door again. It's all on purpose. Why would we choose to open the service the way we did, sharing a tribute for Memorial Day? It's intentional, right? We didn't show a Labor Day video. Didn't show an Easter video. It's intentional based on knowing what is coming and surrounding us this weekend. And you would say, why is Memorial Day end of May? And the Department of Veteran Affairs, Washington, D.C., has this comment. 3 years after the Civil War ended, May 5th, 1868, the head of an organization of Union veterans, Grand Army of the Republic, GAR, established Decoration Day as a time for the nations to decorate the graves of the war dead with flowers. Major General John A. Logan declared it should be May 30th because it was believed simply on that date flowers should be in bloom all over the country. It's very simple, but intentional. And that is exactly where we are winding up this particular five-part sermon series. We've been talking here about faithful families, and we have these. Faithful families model Christ. Faithful families fight selfishness, teach servanthood, impart biblical values, and create intentional moments. And that's where we are today. And some of these moments that we create are going to be quick, simple, easy, unscripted, just course of the day. A moment being a very brief period of time. Someone is about to lose a tooth. You can be intentional, right? We might tie a string to a door or, you know, you lost your first tooth, put it under the pillow. Be very intentional. Let me give you an example from Luke, Gospel of Luke chapter 9, verse 51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy him?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Here, there's intentionality in several places there. As the time approached, Jesus resolutely sets out. He knows what he's walking into. He always knows. And he's going to create a number of intentional moments. And some of those crop up as you're just simply walking along the day, right? And we know Jesus always knew. Jesus knows there's never a moment where Jesus is surprised. But we can be. In this walking down the road, Jesus has a moment to instruct James and John, whom he had very accurately nicknamed Sons of Thunder, from Mark chapter 3, verse 17. I could just see him look at him. Guys, our first thought can't be just to strike down people dead. There has to be another option. And he understands that it's not that he wants the Samaritans to not welcome him. We'll take care of that. But for now, the necessity is to push on. We got it. Gentlemen, can we see the bigger picture here? And I don't know if you know, but I kind of stopped reading mid-event there because when that guy comes up to say, "Hey, I'll follow you anywhere," that's the first of three people. Three guys will all come up and they all have essentially excuses for not following. And Jesus will take advantage of what pops up in our mind as an intentional moment. And I know these examples that I have in this point probably sound best like they're for families with little kids right now, but the principles are the same for any age. If my son and wife, if they want to be intentional with getting me to participate, like on Sunday afternoon after church, and after I go eat, and I'm already stretched out on the couch, don't expect much from me. It's just going to be sleep. That's just all I'm about right there. Finding an intentional moment. Driving is a great time to be intentional. I'm by myself. Radio has some value. Probably for me, a podcast probably has better use of my time. I admit I'm not as intentional with my drive time as I could be. I don't know where you're driving this week. I don't know how many people are still in school. Might be a short trip to school. Could be across country on vacation. We can ask some questions in the car. Don't ask yes, no questions. Ask the squeamish question. They may not answer you right away, but they'll think about it. Jesus had a question in Mark 8:27. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked them, who do people say I am? What's a hard question you need to ask somebody in your family? Could be a kid, could be your parents, could be the spouse. I don't know if anybody has to drive to any, doctor's appointment this week. It's a perfect time for maybe some discussions. You might be driving to financial planners. I'm hesitant to bring it up, but it needs discussed. Drive time's good to be intentional. It's not quite as intensive like staring at each other eye to eye. It's a little bit more casual, laid back, less defensive. Dinner time, that's been discussed for decades, if only we could eat together, but it has good support. This is Kathy Snowden from Harvard. She studied families for 7 years. What's a very important, if not the most important thing to bring about success in a kid? It was not education. She said it didn't strike to be reading God's word. It's not affluence. The number one thing to keep them in a family, doing well, staying well, eating together. And I know a lot of, contemporary families we're going to fold our arms and say, so what you want, preacher, is the Cleavers, right? That's what you think we all could be. Ward and Mrs. Cleaver and Wally and Beaver there and the turkey and the china. That'd be ideal, sir, but I know that's not reality. I'll take sitting together at Wendy's, okay? That's fine with me. If we can sit together and talk. I will give you sitting together in the stands at the stadium. Most of us, while one is out doing the event and eating there, and I promise you, this is a random picture I got off the internet. I said, I bet there's people in there eating. And I zoomed in, and trust me, these two people that I circled behind the one kid, they're eating nachos. It's just any random picture. You're going to find people eating and talking together. And even there, you get a chance, even for a few minutes, check in together, teaching people to honor one another above themselves. It's not about you today. What was your high point? What's a low point? How many times have we talked about Jesus had a very powerful, very moving conversation with Peter on the beach, which was preceded by breakfast? What can I add to a meal setting that can be impactful? And this is what I like. If you feel like, man, we haven't made very good use of our meals in the past, don't worry, because I bet you're going to have another chance here pretty soon. Most of us have several chances every day to gather around the table. The other end of life, aging parents. Sometimes it's taking, especially assisted living, going to either eat with them, maybe help them. Time to talk. And with little kids, we'd talk about bedtime, talk about tucking in little kids and bedtime story. And that's when they might give you a little peek. Appropriate time, scratch their back, pray with them. And I was listening to Dave Stone, a preacher who's older than I, and he said, I can remember my mom and dad praying for me at night when I was a little kid. Lights are out, safe place, and I remember their prayer. Lord, we can't wait to see how you're going to use Dave for your glory. He says, very simple. It wasn't them wondering if God would use me, but how God would use me. He said, don't rush through that. There was one night he and his wife were going to watch a movie, and he was upstairs for half an hour, and he finally came down. And the wife said, what were you doing? He said, she opened up to me, and we talked. How am I going to be intentional this week? And some things aren't scripted. You can't plan it. But it's a target opportunity. A couple of whatever, wherever you are in the marital tenure, how are we intentional? And generally when I'm trying to illustrate, what am I going to do? I'm going to use examples that work for Denise and I. This is what we do. You know, we pray in the morning together before whoever leaves first. We're going to go to bed at the same time, pray together. We may not fall asleep at the same time. Somebody might read, play a game, watch TV, start to snore, you know, but that's the way it is for us, you know. And you don't have to do what we do. If what you're doing is working well for you, great, keep it up. You know? But if you wish you were closer, husband, wife, parent, child, you know, can we pray for each other together? You know, Dave Stone would mention four things family members need to know. I'm trying to impact. I want to look for ways to share so that my family knows they're valued, they're loved, they'll be forgiven, and Jesus is real to me. Some moments, some intentional moments are kind of more calendar driven, a little bit more scheduled. It's kind of the natural flow of life. You can anticipate it. Memorial Day, it's always this weekend. Easter moves around a little bit, but it's in the summer and you can see the calendar, plan ahead. Graduation, you know, not everybody has the same graduation day or the same open house celebration, but it's pretty much in this season, right? It's kind of predictable. I don't remember that we've ever been to a graduation open house in October. And I don't know how I, sometimes parents, seniors, kind of scrambling right now, like, oh, you know, we gotta get the video, gotta make the pictures, gotta put the collage together, and somebody's gonna be teasing you, going, what, did it just sneak up on you? You know, it's like, you had 936 weeks to plan this. You know? Jesus, when he meets in that Passover meal, Luke 22 now, Luke 22, beginning with verse 13, they left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. There's preparation there, right? The disciples are going to go, and they're going to sweep out the house and sweep out all the yeast, which is like symbolic of corruption and sin, and the certain foods that they'll have. This food is symbolic for this, and this one reminds us of that. And is Jesus going to do some, he's going to say some pretty monumental, impactful things in this meal? He is. He's going to set up the Lord's Supper. He knew it was coming. He could take advantage of a night. The Heavenly Father is looking at the calendar, if you will, and saying, of all 365 days of the year, which I could choose to sacrifice my son on the cross, I'm going to pick Passover. You know? A time when the nation is already mindful of how an innocent lamb's blood protects people from death. It's very impactful. You know? And I'm aware that our contemporary culture is, we have a lot of real-time connectivity. Stuff gets changed on the fly. Practices, concerts, settings. I got a text this past Wednesday that the memorial service on Friday in the cemetery was canceled. Then I walked in here Friday and Carrie was in here working. She said, it's back on. You know, we're going to go. So we pick up on Friday at 10 in the morning and you go. I get that. You know, things are flexible, but you can still predict to some degree. Do I need to change my schedule so I can be there for something that the family is having? Ball game, surgery, recital, to be involved? I think it was Dave Stone. He said, my son could always tell at what inning I arrived to the game. He said, my kids could pick my voice out of the crowd. However old you are, do you remember that inning when your dad arrived? Or do you remember what your parents did during your childhood that significantly communicated how they loved you, they cared about you? And if you're sitting there going, there was no inning, he didn't show up. How can we be different? And I hope in the foyer, I hope you've noticed that the books that are currently arranged so appropriately on the slat wall there outside our library, right across the foyer, there are titles on the shelf, Seasons of Life, our walk with Christ. Talking with your kid about Jesus, talking with your kid about God, 30 conversations every parent must have. There's a book out there that says, Let's Make a Memory. How did that title just so happen to appear on the shelf today? It's intentional. Right? And that book, that's a whole big book that has all these ideas for holidays and seasonal situations and vacations. And I looked up like the patriotic, the 4th of July. Call ahead. Call your family. Call your friends. Pick a patriot. Dress up. Have a parade. It's intentional. How does that slap wall display come to be? Sharon Shanks is very intentional. Week after week. Several hours, most weeks. Taking the sermon calendar that I give her for what's coming up and intentionally arranging what will be most helpful. And you might be a fan, it's like, yeah, we're kind of a little bit, you know, we're more spur of the moment. I get that. Everybody's busy. Can we at least sit down and kind of look at it? I think a lot of us can sync our calendars to where everybody supposedly has the same information. But it's like, maybe we need to sit down and go over it. You know, did you not see that in your phone? Let's talk about what's coming up. What kind of moment do I want to emphasize? What kind of situation do we want to prioritize? Tim Tebow's parents told him, they said, hey, you know, we're not going to reward you every time somebody says something about one of your athletic accomplishments. We will be rewarding when someone says something about a Christian characteristic that stands out. What's coming up on your calendar? What's on the horizon that we can intentionally target? And then this, the last one, some moments are, I guess we'll call them hot button issues of the day. You know, I was talking to a mom the other day, and her kids are grown and gone, probably about my age, but they were talking about abortion and heartbeats and the ministry. But mom, what if there's rape? You know, it can happen, right? We can be a 70-year-old talking to our 50-year-old kids, and it's still a hot-button issue. And there's still situations for faithful families. And then you can say, well, that wasn't scripted. I didn't anticipate that. I wasn't ready for that. But it's a pivotal moment. It's a significant issue. You know, I try to be intentional about what's going on in culture around us. You could read headlines any day of the week and find something. I think this was Wednesday when you might have seen where Target was pulling some LGBTQ merchandise from the stores. They had confrontations with customers. And you might say, I don't want to talk. I'm going to be honest, I don't like always talking about that stuff either. But I guarantee you, especially if you have teenagers, college students, young adults in your family, they're impacted by it. There's a big percentage of young people in those categories that talk about it all the time. That was behind a leadership meeting last Sunday after you guys leave and we had elders and deacons meeting together. And that was a question. How does the church get ahead on some of these issues? And you know this is not a new problem. You go to the Gospels, here's Jesus, the disciples, the earliest Christians, and they're talking about hot button issues. I go back to Matthew chapter 19, and here is a question posed to Jesus. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" I thought, can you imagine that conversation today? Or an issue today where a question is posed to Jesus, and immediately 100 phones would be like this, right? Everybody's going to record every word that he says. I was trying to think, we were talking about candidates, you know, that every word they speak is parsed. Can you imagine if Jesus were walking down Broad Street in Columbus in the middle of Pride Month? Who would want to know what he had to say? And he has a response here, verse 4. "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery. The disciples said to him, this is a situation between husband and wife. It's better not to marry. Jesus replied, not everyone can accept this word. Well, how many potential flashpoints do we have in there? What are those Pharisees hoping to accomplish? They come up to Jesus and they ask him a trigger question. And if you study this text, the scholars will say, in the first century Jewish culture, they were divided over the issue. I'm like, well, that sounds familiar. You know, that's right there out on the street today. They had the followers of a man named Hillel who said, you can divorce for any and every reason. And over in this camp, you had the followers of Shammai who said, no, you can only divorce for a sexual offense. And I'm sitting there going, so they had like a two-party system where the two parties disagreed about everything. And the text said this, without getting involved in the Hillel-Shammai controversy, Jesus reminded the religious leaders of God's purpose for marriage, male and female. It says Jesus was very good at making the moment be what he wanted it to be about. That's worth me trying to emulate. You know, when the leader's saying, how do you get ahead of the topic? And I studied it this week, man. I listened to a really good sermon that covered this transgender issue for today. And I'm telling you, that sermon was 54 minutes long. But I can point you to it. Had good scriptural support. The arguments were sound. I would recommend it. But what do you do after that? What do you do after you listen to a sermon? Is that all we need to do? Are intentional moments designed for somebody else to do the talking? Do intentional moments even have to include talking? Are we going to be a place where we say, well, what we'll do is create a meet. We'll have a meeting. We'll create a curriculum. One and done. You know, folks who just attended our Wednesday night, we had a recent study with the McDowell's book, The Beauty of Intolerance, actually. Do you remember that dad? The dad had a son whose friend had a brother who was participating in the local gay games. And that book plays out that hot button issue two ways. In the first scenario, the dad is just talking. He is viewed as condemning. He is argumentative and resistant. He doesn't want any part of it. And they display what happens. In the second retelling, they say, what happens if the dad says, do you mind if I go with you? And they play out that one. And I know we would have valid conversations. You know, there's a whole conversation about, does my attending something condone the behavior? And you talk about that. You know, does my attending something open a door? Can there be a conversation between father, son, or son and friend, or friend and brother, or any of the above? And I can understand if you say, I don't want to do it. I don't be involved. I'd be uncomfortable. Let's just have a class. You know? And classes are good. I teach class. We'll have a class after this. You know? Sermons, I hope you say, that's helpful. Here's a good book. Here's a good podcast. Good video series. Great moments. I think if I'm really wanting to have an impact in some of these issues, I accomplish the most when I apply what I learned in class to the real situation I'm in. And it might be messy and sticky and fast-moving and uncomfortable. You know, but in all these moments, I'll have the most impact when I am involved. So if you want to have a faithful family, you might need to ask yourself, what are the particular issues that our family is facing right now? Could be elder care, dementia, downsizing, estate division, could be step-parenting, step-grandparenting, could be anxiety, depression. But we're going to have to be intentional about stepping into those issues, big and small. And this certainly clearly is a forward-looking sermon. Okay, what's done is done. We can't go back to the past. But everybody here has a huge opportunity to impact even the rest of today. You know? And if or when, as we want Jesus to have impact in the situations in our lives, how can he best do that? He has to be involved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the moments that you give us. None of them surprise you. Sometimes they surprise us. Remind us of how we can impact family and friends, neighbors and coworkers. Remind us of how the most lasting, the most loving, the most powerful impact we can have is to share you, to invite folks to understand who you are, how you are able, what you can provide. We thank you for these moments when we can remember and be grateful for those who have served and sacrificed. Thank you for your son. Thank you for his sacrifice. Thank you for the opportunity that is ours to give our lives to him. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.